Welcome in, and thanks for joining us for the latest edition of the Delaware Bible Cast, a podcast ministry from Delaware Bible Church. I'm Brad Harris, and I serve as pastor of administration and outreach here at Delaware Bible Church. And joining me for today's podcast, as well as next week's podcast, is a man that I've been able to serve with and have been blessed to be able to serve with the last several years. And he served in many roles within Delaware Christian School. He served as a teacher and an instructor. He has served as a dean of students here. And then most recently, he has served as the high school principal. But soon he's going to be retiring here, and we are glad to have him join us here for a couple podcasts. And that's Mr. Tom Carroll. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Pastor Brad.
So Tom, as we begin, as I just shared, you're going to be retiring here soon.
Yes, sir.
You're a man that's very beloved in our ministry, to students, to staff, to those within our church. And if you don't mind, as we begin, tell us a bit about your family and tell us a bit about your history here, because I know it predates you serving here as an employee, but tell us about your history here at DCS.
Well, first of all, with my family, my wife, Bunny, and I have been married for 43 years, and we have three children, Eric, Matt, and Sarah, and all three of our kids went to Delaware Christian School, graduated from here, and they all married their ninth grade and high school sweetheart from Delaware Christian School. They're the only people they ever dated and have been married for many years, and they each have a son and a daughter.
So with that, are you, as former dean of students, are you someone that promotes or doesn't promote high school dating at DCS?
Well, Mrs. Carroll and I, we called it dording.
Oh, okay.
That's a combination of dating and courting.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we did not plan for our kids to, in any way, to marry their ninth grade and high school sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
But, and they actually weren't allowed to date as a couple until their junior and senior year. And that was under certain circumstances.
Understand completely and agree with the approach there. So tell us then a little bit about, with your history at DCS, your kids went through here, but before you started teaching here, Bunny was here for a while, right? So can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so the way this began is we lived in Mount Gilead for 6 years, and Bunny was the elementary principal at Gilead Christian School. And at that time, Gilead Christian School only went to sixth grade. So once your kids completed sixth grade, you basically had three choices. One was to continue on with Christian education and go north to Mansfield Christian, put them in the public school at Mount Gilead, or go south to Delaware Christian School. And at the time, I was teaching in Dublin City Schools and was driving through Delaware every day to get to my job. So it just made sense for us to go south. And so Eric began going here in seventh grade.
And now Eric's serving as our baseball coach, and his wife is working here, and the Carrolls just keep coming right on through. So now he's got his grandkids going here as well. So Tom, if you wouldn't mind, for sharing with those who haven't heard your story, could you share with us your testimony of how you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior?
And before I do that, I should say that Bunny worked here for 18 years as the sixth grade teacher when it was a self-contained classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was home for a while with our grandkids, and she's been back the last several years as our kindergarten art teacher.
She has, and she's done a great job with that.
So as far as my testimony, I'll give the condensed version, mm-hmm. if that's okay.
Absolutely.
So I grew up in a family that I would say my parents had a very troubling marriage. My mom would get all five of her kids up on Sunday morning by herself and get us to our local Methodist church, and that was back when it was Methodist Church, not United Methodist. And in the spring, They would have a week of what we called revival services. And even though our church was on the other side of town, I walked down to the revival services when it was daylight and went by myself. And then my mom would pick me up after it was over because it was dark. And so I heard the gospel every night presented. And on the last night, I just remember my heart racing. And when they gave the opportunity for an altar call, I couldn't wait. I raced to the front, prayed with one of the pastors, and asked Jesus into my heart. I believe I was 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And it was still very vivid in my mind. I think it was for real. There was no follow-up. It really wasn't mentioned at home, let alone celebrated. Actually, when my mom came and picked me up and I was excited and told her about it, she got me back out of the car, and I remember being taken by the wrist and we went back up into the church and met with the two pastors back in this little room. And she was upset and crying and thought the whole thing was kind of weird, and I guess she thought maybe I was brainwashed and I was too young to make that kind of a decision. So that's kind of how my salvation was met, and really no follow-up at home or at church with discipleship or Bible study. And so basically for the next many years, I lived for Tom Carroll, not for Jesus Christ. Although I believe my salvation was real, mm-hmm. and what I missed out on those years until I was a young adult was the fellowship that I could have had with my Lord and Savior. But what I did had was his protection during those years when mm-hmm. I was not living for him.
But the Lord obviously continued to do a work in your life that brought you to where you are today and allowed you to raise a Christian family. So we praise the Lord for that and what he's been able to do through your time here as well. So where was it that you grew up, Tom?
Butler, Ohio.
Butler, Ohio. Okay. That's close to Cincinnati, right?
No. That is up near
Mansfield. That's Butler County. Wrong way.
True. That you're right. So it's up near Mansfield in Richland County. The high school I graduated from was Clear Fork High School.
So before we talk about your time serving in your DCS roles, can you tell us what you were doing professionally prior to coming here to DCS?
Sure. I have been in teaching since 1978. I taught 5 years in Florida. That's where I met Bunny. And we eventually transitioned to Ohio. And I taught in Dublin City Schools for 27 years as an elementary and middle school teacher. And I was able to retire in 2015. And the following school year, 2015-2016, they were transitioning our sixth grade classroom here at DCS from a self-contained elementary classroom to become a part of the middle school concept, and we switched to middle school here. At the same time, our daughter Sarah had her first child, Case, and she wanted Bunny and I to help with the kids. So we talked to John Stubblefield, and he allowed Bunny and I to job share her job since it was going into the middle school. So I stayed home in the morning with Case, and while Bunny taught sixth grade classes here at DCS, and she would come home at lunchtime and I'd hand off Case and I'd go over to DCS, and I taught three classes here in the afternoon.
So then it continued from there, and then what led to then the next steps there?
Well, actually, as that first year progressed, John Stubblefield asked me to be involved in some tough situations with kids as far as discipline and discipleship, and I was glad to do that. It was a little intimidating, first time working with high schoolers mm-hmm. after being in the elementary world all those years, but some good things happened, and I started building relationships, and that year was the start of the trips to Michigan with some of the young men. And the next year they asked me to, if I would be full-time and teach half a day and be dean of students half a day. And I did that for a couple years, and then it transitioned into high school principal.
Tell us a little bit about those Michigan trips. I know that's, when I talk to some of the high school boys, that's always a highlight for them. So can you tell us a little bit about those trips and what you guys do and some of that? What's the intention behind those trips?
Well, I have to start by saying that when we were fortunate enough to obtain a property on a lake in Michigan, which was a miracle in itself, the way it all worked out and how we acquired the property, I promised God that that would always be a place of ministry. And for 26 years, that's what it's been. And it's just a place where if you take fathers and sons, like I have here from Delaware Christian School, over the years, when you get up north by a lake with campfires and boats and snowmobiles and jet skis, it just opens up all kinds of avenues for ministry because those are things that most boys are interested in and they want to go. And there's just, it just gives you the opportunity for continual ministry around a campfire as you're chopping firewood. We had planned, I would have dads or myself have planned talks with the boys about where they were and be able to talk about things that they, and the boys would open up in a setting such as that, whereas they may not somewhere else. Around here, not that they, not necessarily 100% of the time, but it just is a great place for ministry for young men and their dads. And we have seen several salvations up there. There's been several baptisms. Just a lot of good things. It's been a real blessing.
Yeah, there's that real value in just getting in a different environment and change of pace. And then, of course, with the intentionality of being able to share there. And I know as well there's been some intentionality for you guys going to Culver's on the way and Dietz's Ice Cream, right?
That's Infinity. Right.
Absolutely.
Our big stops.
I always see the pictures. Oh, Cabela's.
Oh, yeah, we got to stop at Cabela's.
I always see the pictures on social media, and I see the themes of Culver's, and I see that Dietz's Ice Cream, which I know up in Finley there. So you and Bunny are also members here at Delaware Bible Church, and you both have had some different ways that you've served here. Can you tell us about the other ministry areas that people that are listening in may have seen you around DBC, you and Bunny serving in?
Well, there are things that we've done together and things that Bunny has done separate from me and things that I have done. I've been in the choir, worship team. Of course, I was on the elder board for 6 years. Early on, I headed up the men's ministry, and we established the Fight Club here and the whole Foxhole program that I attempted to institute. So I did that for a couple years. Bunny and I have been life group leaders almost the entire time we've been here, except for the last 2 years.
But you transitioned that well to a new couple that's leaning into couples. So
absolutely.
It's worked out great.
Great group of people. We love them, and it's been a great opportunity to minister to young couples. We were the old people in our life group.
But you handled it the right way, and that you're bringing these young couples in and investing in them, and now they're leading the group, which is the way it should be done. As well, one other thing that I'll mention is you were a big piece. I remember when we were looking for our new administrator, which at the time was John Stubblefield, coming in and being a part of that interview process there as an elder and as a representative there. So appreciate your many years of service there. And I know Bunny's had some impact with the ladies' ministry and some of the things there, and always helpful for VBS crafts or artwork or all that kind of stuff. So, Tom, you worked in the elementary school area for a while. I know you worked in business for a little bit when you were in Florida and some of those things. But what led to your decision to come work here at Delaware Christian School?
Well, I would say that it was ignited by the fact that Bunny and I could still work outside the home, but also one of us each half of the day in our home, so that we were able to provide full-time childcare for our daughter's son first, and then his son first, and then daughter Rainey. So, that kind of was the jump start, but I don't think that was a real reason. I think it was a God thing, mm-hmm. because, you know, again, I remember all the way back to elementary school. My mom was an elementary teacher. My dad was a high school teacher, head football coach in our town, head track coach, and all those things. I remember wanting to be a teacher from the time I even thought about a profession in elementary school. And it was always revolving around elementary school. Never really thought of older kids, although I was certified all the way through eighth grade and taught every grade level, K through eight, in my career.
Wow.
But I guess that first year when I was able to just work here half a day and job share and be with my grandson, and I came to realize, first of all, what a need there is for men in Christian education. Mm-hmm. And there are, you know, for obvious reasons, there's not a whole lot of men in Christian schools. And I developed those relationships early on with people like Johnny Hart and Chad Blakemore, mm-hmm. and Wes Blakemore and all those guys, and just found out that they need men in their life along with their fathers, mm-hmm. and to help support their parents, their dads, and to pour into their lives. And I found out that I absolutely loved it, have loved all these guys throughout the years, and the ladies. It's just my ministry was, for obvious reasons, more involved with the guys,
mm-hmm.
Taking them on trips and things like that. Wouldn't be quite appropriate with the girls.
Yeah, I was given a piece of pastoral advice once, and it was is that you get the men, and then the ladies will follow. So get the men, and the ladies will come with them as you lead the men.
And what did end up happening, and this was a big credit to Bunny because it was a lot of work. The last few years, we started taking each class up in the summer. We mm-hmm. invited the class up, guys and girls, and to kick off their school year with a retreat up at our place. And then the kids would come back and do a chapel based upon some things that happened up there. And it was just a great way to kick off the school year.
Absolutely.
We took each senior class up the last couple of years in the end of July before sports started. And that was different because the ladies were there, but it was great.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that we recently had a retirement party for Tom, and I saw that it wasn't a sign. It was kind of like a display that those kids had for you with what you meant to them. And I loved what some of them meant. He's like a father to me. So that speaks to the impact that those trips have had, that Tom's had on those guys' lives there. And Tom, I know that you're someone who deeply values Christian education, the investment that you've been able to make in these guys' lives that you wouldn't be able to make in a lot of other places. Can you please share with us why you believe so strongly in Christian education, why you see the need for it today, as we're seeing a lot of things in the public sphere that are affecting the public schools, and what benefits do you see in it for today?
Well, I'll kind of go back to when our son Eric was of school age, becoming school age. We lived in Worthington at the time, and we, at the normal time, you would take a child to have kindergarten testing. We did that, and they said he was ready to go, but one of the ladies who was doing the testing said, by the way, you should know. You may want to know that even though he's of the appropriate age, that a lot of people are waiting to put their kids in school, especially boys. So they're a little bit older when they start. And so Bunny said, well, yeah, okay. That gave her another year at home with Eric. And Matt, our second son, was 19 months younger. So they were together at home for another year with their mom. And so what that ended up doing, another God thing we believe, Bunny was working part-time as an audiologist for Columbus Speech and Hearing, and she was sent to Worthington Christian School, actually the preschool, to do testing in a remote vehicle. They had a big van that she would drive with the sound booth, and she went to the preschool at Worthington Christian and saw the little kids were all kind of sitting in these little chairs waiting their turn to be tested. And these two little boys were in kind of a squabble. And one little girl looked at the two and very kindly and lovingly said, "Boys, we shouldn't be that way. Jesus wouldn't want us to be treating each other this way. You know, be kind to one another." And the boys stopped. And that really, you know, those boys and that girl have no idea that they were a huge testimony to my wife. And she came home and talked, and she goes, "That's what I want for our kids." So we, after, you know, waiting that year, we enrolled Eric in Worthington Christian School, and he was there for 3 years, I believe. Matt was there for two. And then we ended up moving out of the area. We wanted to go to a small town, kind of an old house with a barn and apple trees and have chickens and that sort of thing. So we moved to Mount Gilead and were there for 6 years. And like I said earlier, they were in Gilead Christian School. So what we did learn after saying all that, more importantly than just wanting our kids to have polite manners, we came to understand, you know, with me being in public education and Bunny in public education for many years, we realized the difference between the worldviews. And we came to know how important and how much we wanted our children to be raised with a Christian worldview. And you can have Christian teachers every now and then in the public school, you know, like I was, and I knew how to prime the pump and let kids talk about God in my classroom, mm-hmm. even though probably wasn't supposed to. But and I had kids saved in my room after school in mm-hmm. public school in Dublin with their parents, dads with me. So there's ways to do that, but even in the best case scenario, you cannot teach the subjects in public school from a biblical worldview. Mm-hmm. So we came to know how important that is, and that was when we decided that if we didn't have the money, no matter what it took, we would have our kids in Christian education, because Bunny was not always teaching where our kids went to Christian school. So there were times where we didn't have the money, so we took out home equity loans. Wow. We took money out of our IRAs to keep our kids in Christian school. And, you know, I worked extra. I coached in Dublin. I coached here at DCS. We just did, like we've seen many people, many DCS parents, a lot of moms who have cleaned houses and done other things like that in order to keep their kids here because of their desire to have their kids raised with a biblical worldview. And I'll be real honest, this may offend some people now. I don't understand how many of us who call ourselves Christians can keep their kids in public school with what's going on with the whole transgender, gay. And those are just the hot topics right now. Mm-hmm. There's way more than that I saw when I taught and hear about from my children who teach in public school. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just encourage everyone. And I know Christian school is not for everyone, and there's money involved. But again, if I had it to do all over again, and if my wife was not working where our kids went, we would just do whatever we had to do to keep our kids in Christian school. And we are so thankful. They're all, like I said, married, have children. They all are walking with the Lord. And we have been tremendously blessed.
Amen. You got several of them that are making an impact still here. And to follow up on two of those points, just about 12 years ago now was my high school graduation, and I see the acceleration of those things that you're talking about. And, you know, I was small town Ohio, little smaller than Delaware, but, well, actually about a third of the size, so quite a bit smaller. But what you're talking about with those themes of things going in the schools, how much it's accelerated even since my 12 years there. But as well with what you're talking about with financials and things, one of the blessings that we've seen more recently is the availability with variable tuition, with many of these things, for families to be able to afford Christian education that may not have been able to previously. And so that's a great thing to check out with if you're interested in Delaware Christian School or wherever you're listening, the local Christian school, to see what they may be offering there.
Yeah, right. When our kids were going through Christian school, there was no ed choice. There was no variable tuition or financial aid. You just did what you had to do.
There are, in certain circumstances, you know, incredibly reduced to free rates depending on the family, with the money being provided by the state. So it's a wonderful option for families. And I know many of them wouldn't be able to be here otherwise. So what a blessing that is.
And I have heard people say that, you know, I want my kids in public school so they can be a light and a witness in a dark place. And I heard a Christian speaker, maybe James Dobson, say, where else would we put 6- and 7-year-olds in a place that is diabolically the opposite of how we're trying to raise our kids, to put them in there to try to be a light?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I know that's each parent's choice, and I'm not everyone, I'm not their parent, but I just pray that people will consider all those things and really find out what's going on. You don't know what's really going on inside a Christian school unless you work there.
And so,
I mean, a public school.
Yeah. Well, and with that, as you're saying, you're going to have to do a lot of mission work, you would say, on your kid or with your family if you are going that route and making sure, okay, this is where they're at, this is what's going on, this is the curriculum they're being taught, where from the Christian school perspective, you know what you're getting, you know the good curriculum that's out there, what we're using, and as well, you know the influences that they're getting are from a Christian worldview and Christian teachers and that thing, because they all have to sign our doctrinal statement that says, this is what we believe. Or that, you know, that they agree to preach and teach in these areas there. So Tom, on our next podcast, we're going to focus on your favorite stories. I want some story time with Tom when we get to our next one that we'll release the following week. But if you could just share with us a summary of some of the biggest blessings, but as well some of the challenges that you've dealt with as a teacher here, as a dean of students, and as a high school principal.
Well, absolutely. Number one would be the salvations that I have witnessed. I've had kids come to my door that were doubting their salvation or knew that they had never accepted Christ. And after a chapel or some other, you know, maybe event that we've had here, and I've called their, you know, parents, their dad, and their parents have come in, and I've seen parents and students here get down on the floor with each other on their knees, and dad helped lead that, our students to Christ. So I would say absolutely the salvations I've witnessed here and up in Michigan and the baptisms would be absolutely number one.
Mm-hmm. Real life change. What about the challenges?
Well, that's a tough one because there have been some hard times.
Mm-hmm.
I would say there's two times where the Lord used me to intervene in two separate suicide attempts.
Mm-hmm.
Those were tough.
Yeah.
The other, I would say, along the way over these 7 years, I've had to expel some kids. And, you know, that was after months of working with the student, his or her parents, sometimes their pastors involved. Our pastors were involved. And it came to a point where they had received grace. I've been accused of maybe giving too much grace throughout the years, but I didn't want to give up. And when you finally have to make that decision to expel a student, I have felt like I failed and that I was giving up on them, and that it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time when those happen, we were all crying and the parents were crying. I was crying, and it's hard.
Yeah.
And all you can do, but you also have to protect the students that are here, because most of those times that involves something that could infect our students.
And there is a signed covenant that they agreed to that was broken.
Yes. And so I know it was the right thing to do, but it doesn't make it easy.
No, and I think what you're talking about is what we see in all of ministry, which is the blessings are the people as God works in them, and the hard parts are when you invest a lot in people and the fruit isn't being shown there. But Tom, we praise the Lord for your many years of service here in our church and in our school. And I'd like to just close out our time by finding out what's next for Tom and Bunny Carroll.
Well, we're praying about that. I'm just truly trying to receive guidance from the Lord on that. And it would really be nice if he would like send a burning bush or something, but so obviously we will spend probably a little more time on our place in Michigan during the warm season. Bunny is from Bradenton, Florida, so we are going to spend some time in her hometown in the winter. Going to be snowbirds.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope to keep a little home base here because our kids and most of our kids and grandkids live in the Delaware area. So we don't want to just sell and not have anything here. So we're working on all that. We're prepping our house for sale. And again, seeking God's guidance on that.
Last question for today. How can we as a church be praying for you as you transition to this new phase? I know you mentioned your house, but is there anything else we can be praying for you guys about?
Yeah, I really want God to continue to use Bunny and me as we transition into retirement. I have no intentions of retiring from ministry.
Amen.
And now possibly we may have three different places to be involved in ministry for certain times of the year, and that's kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to continue to be used and in whatever way he would want to use us.
Well, Tom, just because you're going to be retiring and being a snowbird, we still hope to see you around here. And so we thank you for joining us today. We are very appreciative of your ministry here. I'm thankful for our friendship and the time we've been able to enjoy together, and just the investment that you've had on so many people here, but particularly on so many of those high school boys that just talk and view you so highly. So thank you again for joining us today. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. We've got one final podcast for this season that's going to release next week, and Tom is going to share with us some favorite stories from his time working here at DCS. So we look forward to that, and we thank you again for joining us today. Hope that you have a wonderful week. We look forward to sharing with you one more time this season next week.